Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston. Bread for the
broken. You show up, you go out. You show up, you go out. You show up, you go out. That's just how, that's the intent. That's the way it's designed to be. It's not like we show up, we receive, keep to ourselves. Show up, receive, keep to ourselves. You're the Dead Sea. There's no outlet. The Dead Sea might be beautiful. It really is. It's very picturesque. But nothing's living in it. And it has no benefit other than Ahava and some other Dead Sea products, which make great lotion. Okay, they do. They really do. This stuff is fantastic. I've been there. It's amazing.
In today's message, Pastor James will share with you about some of the missions of the church. Obviously, the church is in the business of educating and growing believers in Christ, but the church is also, if not more, in the business of bringing new people to Christ. When you walk into church, you can be fed so that you can then go out and give it to others. When you choose to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ with unbelievers, the Lord will bless your efforts and protect you. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Acts chapter 19 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
Alright, so Acts chapter 19, if you don't mind turning there, Acts chapter 19, we ventured into chapter 19 a little bit from last week. It wasn't part of my plan. Part of my plan was to be in, actually to be starting the book of Thessalonians. You know, we'd be in Thessalonians today, really, but, you know, the flow from 18 to 19, there's no real, I'm not going to put a division there where there wasn't ever a, you know, because your original Bibles didn't have chapters and verses, okay? They just don't have that. In fact, praise God for modern Bibles that have chapters and verses. You may not like them, but I need them because if you've seen an original text, it's just a bunch of words, hardly any spacing at all, and I need as much help as I can get when it comes to reading books and even reading the Bible. Believe it or not, I need those divisions, but chapter 18 to chapter 19 just all flows together, so naturally we don't want to break that up. So we went into chapter 19, the first seven verses, and then we're going to pick up in verse 8. So just so you know, Paul is on his third missionary journey. You got this other guy out, Apollos. He's doing great things for the Lord. What's really cool about him is as great of a speaker as he was, as charismatic as he was, and all this stuff, and as smart as he was concerning the things about Jesus, he never personally knew Jesus, and then he got saved. And then there were some other disciples within that region. They knew about Jesus, but they didn't actually know Jesus, and then they got saved. And so that really is what leads us into where we're at with Ephesus. Ephesus is a major, major city within the Roman Empire, for sure. Geographically where it's at, it's just situated right on the coast. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful, but it's a key city within the world in which Paul was living at this point in time, okay? Financial, it's like the Wall Street of that area. I mean, all banking and stuff was done through there. You name it. I mean, Ephesus was a going city. It was an awesome city, and Paul long to get to Ephesus. It was one of his dreams. I want to get to Ephesus. Now, after this, he's going to say, now let's go to Rome, right? But for sure, he wanted to spend some time in Ephesus. And this is where our story picks up. Okay, verse 8. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God, right? This is his normal pattern. We've been going through this book, and we've seen this time and time again. This is what he does. He shows up into a town. If they have a synagogue, he goes in there. When the floor is open for anybody to speak, Paul's like, dibs, got it, right? So he's like, I'm on it. So for 3 months, he did this in Ephesus until he got sick of them, okay? So it says here, continuing on, it says, but some became stubborn, rejecting his message and publicly speaking against the way. So you have some Jews within the synagogue, more than likely the leaders of the synagogue, they just get fed up with him. They get fed up with him and his same message. You keep talking about the same thing. You keep talking about Jesus, and you keep talking about how Jesus died on the cross for our sins and how he rose from the grave 3 days later. You keep saying the same thing over and over again. And Paul's like, duh. Yeah, because that's the only thing. It's a new covenant. What else am I going to talk about? He also talked, he was very diligent to show them from their scriptures, the Old Testament, that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. And they're done with it. They're sick of it. We don't want to hear that psalm anymore. We don't want to hear from Isaiah anymore. We're tired of you talking about Jesus. So Paul, being smart, he's already put this into practice to a certain extent. If he's not welcome somewhere, well, then he leaves. Then he leaves. Good thing. If you're not welcome somewhere, then leave. Then leave. You don't have to stick around. If where you're at is hostile and people are just constantly like berating you or making fun of you, especially because of your faith, then leave. No, but if I leave, then they won't go to heaven. You didn't die on a cross to save them. You don't get them into heaven. You don't. None of us, we don't. It's the Holy Spirit who does the work inside of them. You planted seeds, I'm sure you did. You're faithful to that. Now move on. Now move on. Why stick around? Why stick around? Maybe the Lord wants you to go somewhere else, plant some new seeds. Maybe to water some seeds that were already planted so that he can cause the growth. Paul heads this down. This is third missionary journey. He's like, what, you guys don't like me? Fine, I'll leave. I don't have to stay here. I'll go start my own thing. And that's what he does. He's not going to leave Ephesus because there's work to be done there. But he doesn't have to keep showing up to the synagogues. If you don't want, and it's not me, if you don't want Jesus and if you don't want the gospel, then we'll leave. Then we'll take him somewhere else. That's your loss. So he in effect, he kind of tells him that. Because they're rejecting his message and publicly speaking against the way. The way is another word for Christians, okay? It was derived from these individuals as, you know, the way. That's the way. And could be connected to the fact that, you know, Jesus had said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Could be that these Christians were saying, hey, Jesus is the only way to heaven. A lot of connections there, but they tagged these guys with this term, the way, right? It probably wasn't like complimentary, okay? Regardless, that's how they were known within this region and by these individuals. And so they were speaking against the way. So Paul left the synagogue and took believers with him. Then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall of Tyrannus, okay? Interesting little setup here. So he's going to basically rent out the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Tyrannus means tyrant, okay? I don't know who would want to be in the school of a tyrant, okay? Plus, he's got those little arms, right? No, that's not, no. Okay, bad joke, right? It works in youth group. It works in youth group. So Tyrannosaurus Rex. I mean, come on. It's right there. Anyways, this place is available. So you got an empty building, and Paul's like, takes the believers with him, and he's like, I'll just start Bible college. I'll just start a school of ministry. You're not using that building? Sweet, we'll use it. And that's exactly what he does. He meets, more than likely, the time frame, it's kind of estimated, you can't really be dogmatic on this, but it was probably 6 days a week. Okay, they took a day off, smart. And this public speaking, this daily discussion type thing, this I would call it a Bible college, goes from 11 to about 4. So 11 to 4, 6 days a week for 2 years. That's what Paul had committed to these guys. That's a pretty extensive Bible college education there. But Paul he knows that the Lord is doing something tremendous within the city. He has the opportunity to invest in these guys beyond what he would have been able to in a synagogue. Synagogue, I get one day a week with these guys. But because they don't want me here, I moved out. Well, look what the Lord opened up. Now I got my own place, and I can meet 6 days a week for as long as I want. And I can spend and pour hours into these individuals who want to show up and want to learn more about Jesus And that's what he did. So he's laying a great foundation there in Ephesus, okay? Daily discussions, lecture hall of Tyrannus, and this went on for 2 years so that the people throughout the province of Asia, this is Asia Minor, so think Turkey, okay? Think, you know, that region of the Mediterranean coast there, okay? There in Turkey, aka Asia Minor, there's Ephesus, and Ephesus is a hub within this little world right here. See the little boot on the left-hand corner? That's the bottom part of Italy, in case you didn't know that, okay? So it's shaped like a boot. So Rome's right up there. I mean, this is like just a hub of activity. You know, importing, exporting, money coming in, money going out. And not only that, but just even where it's at, you know, philosophically, just a lot of different new ideas and beliefs and thoughts, and tons of religions are going on there. We're going to talk about that in a second. But I mean, it just really is like the hub of the world at this point in time. So that's where he is. He's in Ephesus in Asia Minor, which is Turkey. And he's going to do the school of ministry started by the Apostle Paul right there in Ephesus. Okay? So here's what's happening though. So throughout the province of Asia or Asia Minor there, both Jews and Greeks, they heard the word of the Lord. So because Paul left the synagogue, because he was willing to take a step of faith and leave the synagogue, he goes into this place that's been open to him where he can talk about Jesus as much as he wants from 11 to 4 for 2 years. For 2 years, he gets to pour into these individuals. Here's what's key to that. All right, this would be an epic fail if you didn't have the rest of that verse. If you purely had Paul set up a little church, a little Bible college in Ephesus, and he shared with them for 2 years, you know, these great theological truths and this core doctrine, right? These things that we hold fast to, who Jesus is. Jesus is God. He died on the cross. He literally died on the cross, born of a virgin, came back to life, raised from the dead 3 days later, covers our sins, all that good stuff. If you don't have the result of that, you don't have much of anything. I mean, yes, it would be great for Ephesus. It's great for people. They showed up there. They learned a lot about Jesus. Lives probably got changed and all that good stuff. But if it only stayed in Ephesus, it's not making that big of a deal. Here's the beauty, and this is what we call multiplication. Those people taught by Paul for 2 years, 6 days a week, 5 hours a day, they went out and told other people about it. Not about Paul, not about the school of ministry, but about Jesus. The reason why word goes out throughout the, it says so that people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard what? They heard the word of the Lord. That only happens when you leave and you go and tell people about the word of the Lord. That's why these things, you know, the church is always a sending organization. If it's an organization at all, it's more of an organism, but you got to have organization within an organism. I mean, that's just how nature works, okay? So if you don't, then things just die, okay? But it should always be a sending organization. You show up, you go out. You show up, you go out. You show up, you go out. That's just how, that's the intent. That's the way it's designed to be. It's not like we show up, we receive, keep to ourselves. Show up, receive, keep to ourselves. You're the Dead Sea. There's no outlet. The Dead Sea might be beautiful. It really is. It's very picturesque. But nothing's living in it. And it has no benefit other than Ahava and some other Dead Sea products, which make great lotion. Okay, they do. They really do. The stuff is fantastic. I've been there. It's amazing. Now, one day, that will be solved. Right? Because from the temple, a river will flow into the Dead Sea, bringing life. Bringing life because you have an in and you have an out, right? That's how churches should be as well. You come, you receive. Paul taught the school of, you know, this Bible college deal. He had people showing up, but they were also going out and they were sharing. They were sharing about how good Jesus is, how amazing God is. The Bible and the gospel, and I mean, they were just sharing. And that was having an effect on the whole province of Asia. That's our goal. That's our goal. That's the goal. It should be the goal for any and every church, right? That, you know, we proclaim the gospel, we magnify Jesus so that we all go out and we just talk more about Jesus, and we not just talk about him, but we live like Jesus. And we share what we've received, we give out freely the things that we have received. Like that's the church. That's what you want. You want a good inflow and a good outflow, because that's life. That's life. And that's what was happening here. So these people were going out and they were spreading this throughout the province of Asia, having a tremendous impact. In fact, we get a little bit of insight as to how just impactful this all was by way of a really weird story, right? Don't you love the Bible? The Bible isn't like, hey, here's all the best stories. No, God's like, you know what would be fun for Calvary Galveston in October? Let's do a scary story, right? Let's talk about exorcisms. Let's just do that. I didn't plan this. I don't plan out my sermons or anything. It couldn't have been better. I mean, it's October. I don't know what your feelings are on all that stuff, but you know, you open up the Bible and you're like, exorcisms? What? And demonic beatdowns? Yeah, it happened. It did. But what? As a result of what? The gospel was spreading. So here you go. Even before you get there, here's just another unusual thing. Verse 11, God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. Note this, you're taking little notes. That's just one verse. That's verse 11. You need to note this if you're studying the word and all the good stuff. God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. God gave Paul the power. Paul didn't have the power on his own, okay? It's not within Paul to perform all these miracles. If God's not giving Paul the power to do the miracles are not happening, all right? And these miracles are unusual because they've never really happened before. And do they continue to happen like this? I don't know. I think there's a reason why the word unusual is used there, because it's not standard. It's not normal. It's not normal. When somebody's sweatband is healing people of sicknesses, that's not normal, and that's kind of gross. That's gross. I'm sorry, but no, I don't want your sweatband, Apostle Paul, but some people, that was a point of connection for them. Okay, I'll explain that. So you got these miracles, right? Verse 12 says, when handkerchiefs, or I call them sweatbands, or aprons that have merely touched Paul's skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases, and evil spirits were expelled. This is happening in Ephesus. Like, this is madness. So there's Paul doing school of ministry. Probably, we don't know. There's a good chance that he's still building tents, because why is he wearing an apron? He's not a barista at Starbucks. He's not like dishing out lattes and stuff. He's probably building tents, and he's got a sweatband because he's sweating like crazy, because you build tents, you get sweaty. But people were taking his sweatbands and his aprons, and they were throwing it on their loved ones. Gross. Gross. I'm sorry, but look, I work outside, you know, a couple of days out of the week, right? It seems like most days out of the week. When I got a mowing day and I walk in, nobody in my house wants to touch me. Like, I'm covered in sweat. Like, I'm 8 hours of sweat. I mean, it's just built up on me. And I walk in, everybody's like, oh, don't touch. And I get it, right? And here are these people, they're following Paul, and they're like, get that handkerchief. Like, he just dropped his, get that bandana Paul just dropped. Get it. And then, I mean, just throwing it on sick people. And they're getting healed. This is not like fake. This is not phony. This is not, well, maybe they had like some sort of psychological disorder, and this was just like all this. No. This was like real healing happening. They had real sicknesses, real diseases, real demons, and they were healed. Why? It's kind of like that story in the Gospels where you have this sweet lady who has had this problem with bleeding for so long, and she knows Jesus is walking through the city. And in her mind, she says, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Was there anything magical about his garment? Nope. Not at all. It's just a piece of cloth. There's nothing magical about it. Should we go dig it up somewhere? And no, don't do that. It's just a piece of cloth. The point is not his garment. The point was the connection, the faith connection. She knew, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, she knew the healing comes from Jesus. And she knew, if I can even just get as so much as close to him as just the touch, the, you know, part of his shirt, that's more than enough to take care of my problem that all these doctors can't fix. And she got there and she touched his garment. He's like, hey, who touched me? And the disciples are like, are you crazy? There are crowds around us. Everybody's pushing in and touching you. He's like, no. Somebody touched me. And then she grabbed that. She touched the hem of his garment. She came forward and she was healed. Nothing miraculous about his garment. Nothing at all. But for her, it was like, if I know he can heal me, if I get there and touch that garment, that's more than enough to heal me. These people, they knew, like, man, if I can just something that has been in contact with the Apostle Paul, because obviously God is doing great things through him, if I can just get in contact with anything that has touched his body, that's more than enough to heal my loved one. Or the sick one may be saying, look, I don't care what it is, give me his sweaty bandana, whatever it is. I know that God can use that to heal me. It was a point of contact. It's kind of like that faith connection for these guys. What I love about this is that God healed them. There's no like rhyme or reason to it. And you can't like put a formula on this stuff. Because there are guys who have tried to put formulas on these things. You can turn on a television and they'll tell you like, look, just put your hand on the screen, right? And you get healed. You know what's funny about that? I was listening to a podcast this past week. And it's a Calvary Chapel podcast, and it's Bill Holdridge. Bill Holdridge. I don't know if you know. I went to school with Nate Holdridge. Nellie and I went to school with Nate Holdridge, his son. Calvary Chapel, Monterey Bay. Bill Holdridge goes around and he helps out churches now. He was interviewing this guy who mentored him. He's an 80-year-old man, and he's having some leg issues, right? He has to get up and walk around. He has a nurse that kind of helps him with that. But his leg was causing him all sorts of pain. And he's like, you know what I did? And he's a very solid, biblically based guy. He's like, I turned on the TV and there was this guy on TV, a preacher on TV. And this guy, he's for 80 years, you know, for 60 years, he's been a preacher, pastor himself. And he's like, and this guy said, he said something along the lines of like, hey, look, you know, just pray this prayer after me. If you got some aches in your body or whatever, just pray this prayer after me. I feel like the Lord, you know, wants to heal you. And he's like, you know what? He's like, I think I'm just going to do that. I'm going to pray that prayer. Prayed the prayer, went to bed, woke up, leg pain's gone. Like they couldn't figure out what is causing his leg pain. Wakes up, and his nurse, who has to help him walk around, this 80-year-old man just pops back up, and he's like walking with no issues. And she's like, what happened to you? He says, well, let me tell you about Jesus who healed me. The hopeless, hopeless,
prayed for the broken. How incredible to learn about the Holy Spirit and the faithfulness of the apostles within the early church. You've been listening to Bread for the Broken with Pastor James Grizzle. We're so glad that you joined us in this study through the book of Acts. If you'd like to listen to today's teaching again or hear more from Pastor James, feel free to visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the teachings tab. We'd also love to hear from you, so would you let us know how you've been blessed by Bread for the Broken? You can drop us a note through the contact page on our website. While you're visiting breadforthebroken.com, you'll also be able to learn more about the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Galveston. If you're ever in the Galveston area, we would love to have you visit. So for directions, service times, and to learn more about us, just visit breadforthebroken.com. We hope to see you soon. Until then, we encourage you to read ahead and to begin to study the book of Acts on your own. Although it may seem unrelatable because it took place thousands of years ago, that couldn't be further from the truth. God is still living and active today, and His Spirit is present and seeking those who believe. And if you let Him, God can do incredibly powerful things through you for the kingdom. So the question we'll leave you with today is, will you say yes to what God is doing? And will you trust in Him to move today just as He did all of those years ago? There's still so much to learn from the book of Acts, but that's all the time we have for today. Join us again next time, right here on Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of you.